The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Stephen Powell to look ahead to the best of the action on Sunday. We're going to look at three contests at Huntingdon and also just have a quick look ahead to the World Hurdle. Good morning, Mr. Powell.
Yes, hello Alex, how are we?
Very good, thanks, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, not bad.
As I said...
Starting to get a bit giddy, but I'm all right.
Well, it's sneaked up on me this year, Cheltenham. You get excited around sort of... January time. And I don't know, for the last sort of month, I don't know what I've been doing.
Yeah, but it's suddenly now.
It's like, oh, hang on, we're into sort of, how many days is it now? Nine,
yeah.
Yeah. So certainly the action is hotting up.
For Cheltenham, everywhere else it's cooling down, unfortunately.
That is the thing though, isn't it?
You're
left with a lack of star horses, shall we say, to run.
The dregs of the National Hunt Society.
It is a bit, isn't it?
No, that's a joke.
No, but...
There are still horses, because obviously not every good horse is going to run at Cheltenham. Particularly next week, obviously Sandown, there's a William Hill Imperial Cup meeting, which is always a good card.
Mm. So. And in fairness, I mean, you're looking at three races at Huntingdon later, and they're not the worst contests. I mean, there's some pretty competitive handicapping, if you like. Horses that certainly have been having decent seasons, but... The news that we learnt this morning is that AP McCoy is going to ride at Fisher's Cross in the World Hurdle. I thought that he'd be on more of that.
Yeah,
that,
I did
that
as
is,
well.
Is a bit of a shock for me. And it has affected the betting. We've got Big Bucks in at 7-4, Annie Power at 9-4, at Fisher's Cross at 5s, more of that at 7s with Rule the World, Quivega at 8s, but don't think Quivega will be going there. Zakanda at 10s, 14s or bigger the rest. You've also got a bit of news, haven't you, that you were telling me earlier about Willie Mullins and Annie Power.
Yeah, apparently there was a tweet sent by Channel 4 Racing this morning where Willie Mullins has been quoted as saying that the easier opposition is likely to be in the World Hurdle, so he's leaning towards that with her, which is sort of the most notable thing he said, to be honest, about where she's going to run.
And that's reflected in the price now as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so... it is going to turn into a cracking little race, I think, to be truthful, the World Hurdle. I am surprised AP's riding at Fisher's Cross because he's had a ropey old season. I know he was better last time out at Cheltenham, and obviously he was in front of Big Bucks, but I have no doubt that Big Bucks will reverse the form. Even if Big Bucks doesn't win the World Hurdle, he'll reverse the form without Fisher's Cross. And I thought more of that had the more potential, the less sort of negatives.
Yeah,
And thought that he'll go well.
I mean, I spoke to AP this morning, and he was just saying that he thinks that Fisher's Cross might just have. He said that last time he felt that the horse was getting back to his best, which is fair enough.
Yeah, and in fairness,
he has course form.
Yeah, he's been and won at Cheltenham on more than one occasion. Battle hardened, where more of that, I suppose, we don't know about, do we?
Yeah, but certainly an interesting one there.
Yeah, I mean, very much six of one, half a dozen of the other. I think. When you sort of try and weigh them up, but I think I'd just side towards the one that we know less about, just that in potential terms.
Unexposed,
really.
Yeah,
basically.
But I think whichever way you want to play the World Hurdle, you can sort of. I think whichever horse you fancy is a bit of value there. I mean, Big Bucks 7-4.
Yeah,
people could say that's fantastic.
If he wins by 10 lengths, we'll be going. Should have been 4-7.
Exactly. So Annie Power 9-4. She's done.
Yeah,
nothing.
If she demolishes them like she has all her other races.
Exactly.
At
Fisher's Cross at 5s is potentially an each way bet
to
nothing.
Yeah.
You know, more of that at 7s is good each way value. And
I think Zakanda at 10-1 is good each way value as well, because he's got a good Cheltenham record as well. He's
always runs his race, doesn't he?
Yeah, arguably running over the wrong trip this season now. So, and Andy Holding's been crowing about Marla Beach if the ground's soft.
33-1.
Yeah, if it's soft, that is. That's the key thing about him. So it could turn out to be a really fascinating race. And, you know, there was a bit in the Racing Post in the week saying that Big Bucks might have to put up his best ever performance this year to win the World Hurdle, which at the age of 11, coming back after an injury and being off for over a year would be remarkable.
A big test.
It would.
Rev de Civil are 20-1, Stephen. Can I tempt you? I know it's a horse that you do like.
I love Rev de Civil, I really do. But after last year's debacle, I don't know if I can bring myself to back him again at Cheltenham in the festival. And to be fair, he ran pretty poorly in the Cleve Hurdle.
He did.
Yeah. So when conditions should have suited him.
Okay. So if I was going to ask you for a pick for the World Hurdle,
likely winner or to bet?
I'm going to ask you for the bet that you'd place.
I would back Zarkandar each way.
Okay. 10-1 at the time of recording.
Yes. If I was going to bet now.
Solid bet, that, isn't it?
Yeah, just because I think he's got a good chance of making the frame. He always runs his race, reliable, consistent, where the others have got question marks. You know, you can also use that unexposed potential against more of that. At Fisher's Cross, you never know. As I said, he's had a ropey old season, and I would have liked to have seen him reproduce his form at least once, which I suppose people will argue that he did at the Cleve, but I don't really take much out of that. I mean, I like Nakara Bow, but the fact that he won doesn't really do a lot for me.
Okay.
And Rule the World. I'm not a great lover of Rule the World.
I'm not a huge fan, to be honest.
No, exactly.
But
so
still deserves his chance there.
Yes, he does. You know. Yeah, worthy of being in it, but I'm just not a big fan of him. So, yeah. The most likely winner, I still think, is Big Bucks.
Okay. We'll have a look at Huntingdon then on Sunday. The 3 o'clock, the 3:30 and the 4 o'clock are the races that we'll focus on. We'll kick off with the 3 o'clock handicap hurdle over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs. Only the 7 runners down to go to post. Where should we start here? We've got MSA Crag under our very own Richie McGrath, who won last time out, and it was a pretty nice victory in the end. I mean, it was all out, but a horse that had been showing quite a bit of form, and that was quite a nice race.
Yeah, it was. It was a better race than this. It was a Class 3 handicap. This is a Class 4, so despite the fact he's won, he's going slightly down in grade. And he beat Shimla Dawn by a head, as you say, all out, but they were 10 lengths clear of the third horse. So I think there's a potential, despite his £7 rise, that he's going to run another decent race on Sunday afternoon. I am a sucker for a handicap debutant, it has to be said, though. And that brings in Thomas Jr. And El Indio. Now, Thomas Jr. has had 4 runs, two bumpers and 2 hurdles so far. Just got touched off for second when behind Milo Milan at Taunton on heavy ground in January. Up in trip for his handicap debut, but obviously he's going to be short. People are going to think exactly the same for David Pipe and Tom Scudamore. After his runs at Donny and Taunton as well. So, obviously, it has to go well. But I do think El Indio will run well. Because he's from a less fashionable yard, he will be a bigger price. But Claire Dyson's actually had, I think, probably her best ever season this year. They had a good spell in January. And he's had 3 runs all on heavy ground over 3.5 miles. And he just weakened behind the mare Flementine at Southwell last time out. But his best run out of 2 in point to points was on good ground. And I think it's heavy soft in places at Huntingdon. It is drying out. It's not going to be the real heavy ground that we've had. It's just going to be, I think, soft, and it won't be so much hard work. And again, making his handicap debut, I think he might run a decent race. It's between those 3 that we've mentioned. Thomas Jr., the most likely winner. MSA Crag, I think, will run well again. And El Indio might well outrun his odds. It's a tricky little race.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you for 1, Stephen. You can't have 3 in a 7-runner.
No,
race.
No, I don't want 3.
I know.
I don't want 3. At the prices, MSA Crag I'll go for.
Okay.
So down in grade.
Yeah.
Compared to what he won in last time out.
And the one that you know it's going to run its race.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, MSA Crag there in the 3 o'clock. The 3:30, the next one that we'll look at. Handicap chase over 3 miles. 5 runners down to go to post. Makes sense here to start with Rydalis for Venetia Williams, horse that has seen a lot of racing recently.
He has.
But very consistent.
Very consistent, been very busy, and gained a well-deserved win at Leicester last time. He's up £6 for that now off a mark of 1.25. And what worries me was before that win at Leicester, he was... being running well but struggling to get his head in front off marks in the high teens, sort of one between 115 and 120, and now he's up to 125.
It's also interesting, though, that she was dropped in trip last time at Leicester.
Yes.
And now back up to 3 miles.
Yeah, and that also was my next point. Mm. Took the words right out of my mouth. It's all right. There's concerns for Ryder Arlis, and I'm happy to overlook on the basis that, A, it's up to a weight that, you know, he couldn't win off lower weights earlier on in the season and back up in trip. So we'll move on from Ryder Arlis. Frontier Spirit had been disappointing all season. And when you look, think, oh, well, he came back to a bit of form, finished second last time. It was beaten 39 lengths. So needs to sort himself out, to be honest. And then we get Streams of Whiskey, who won at Hexham over fences, fell twice in races won by Green Flag up the north, was beaten in one of them when he fell in second, but he was still challenging Green Flag when he fell in the other. Put him back over hurdles at Doncaster, and although he was well beaten, will have just boosted his confidence to have a day at the races, you know, without any mishap, basically. And I think he's very interesting in this race, because Green Flag is a pretty solid, good novice chaser up the north. I mean, and he's sort of 40-1 for the RSA, but he's been running off consistently well off higher marks, sort of 130s. Touching 140, so I'm very interested in Streams of Whiskey. Lively Baron is a horse I like, but he's an absolute rogue. Second at Carlisle, first time up this season, and he's been downhill since then, but he's £6 lower than that run at Carlisle. So if he decides to have a bit of a revival, then he can go well. He has the ability to do it, but he's very untrustworthy. And Chapolimos, off for a very long time, 18 months before finishing third, only beaten two lengths behind Trojan Sun in a 0-110 handicap here at Huntingdon last time. Been off for 37 days, receiving a lot of weight from the rest of the runners. An interesting, but again, a slightly trickier race. I can see Chapolimos running well without winning, I think.
Yeah, Nick Schofield as well on great form, as ever at the minute.
Yeah, riding really well. So if you're pinning me down, because I know you will, Streams of Whiskey.
Okay, Streams of Whiskey. Certainly get a bit of value there for Nicky Richards, Brian Harding on board in the 3:30. The final race that we'll look at is the 4 o'clock handicap hurdle over an extended 2 miles. 9 runners down to go to post. We've got Scottsbrook Legend down at the bottom there bidding to, she's bidding to follow up her Leicester success. That was a bit of a shock that day. She's been given a bit of a break since, but certainly not the strongest race.
No, and she's vulnerable, I think. Her form was very, very patchy before that win at Leicester. And although she won by 19 lengths, she's up £11 and into a harder race as well. And that concerns me a little bit.
I mean, I remember actually, I napped Santo Thomas in that race, Venetia Williams horse, that has since got on to be okay.
Yeah, he ran at Taunton solid the other day. Yeah. He's all right, but he's now special.
Doesn't win.
No, exactly.
And Scottsbrook Legend won by 19 lengths that day. But
Tardy much to rave about, I think.
No, there isn't a particularly strong form line there. And there's some up towards the top, the likes of No No Charlie and Heartside, who've been busy.
Yes.
But are holding their form pretty well.
Heartside's been very consistent off this sort of handicap mark, mainly in December. Then he ran in two races where he had no chance at all before coming back to form when third behind Hawaii 5-0 3 weeks ago at Catterick. And he gets on well with his rider as well, Ryan Winks. And I think he'll go well, Heartside. But again, he'll go well without winning. For me, No Charlie, you mentioned, and handicap debutants here. Decent bumper win, good run behind Takander Soy in the early part of his career. Although he was trashed by him, he was still a good run. But his form over hurdles has not been the same. And I don't think the handicap has been overly lenient on his first run in a handicap of 110. But I think we'll see better from him now. Mission to Mars is another one who's making his handicap debut. The yard in form of Nigel and Sam Twiston Davies. His form a bit patchy, but his third at Southwell wasn't too bad last time. And again, I'd expect an improved run from him. And the final handicap debutant is Broughton's Bandit, who has had three runs over hurdles, the second of which was really interesting. He was second to Sea Lord and only beaten about a length and a half on that occasion. Fourth last time out. Hasn't been seen over jumps for 243 days, Broughton's Bandit. If he's ready to go after a break, I think he could run well. The big unknown, though, is the ground. He's never ran on heavy ground, apart from his first ever run on the flat, which you can't really read a lot into, because that was his only run on turf on the flat. All his other runs have been on the all-weather. until his three hurdles runs, which, as I say, won in the spring and on slightly better ground last year. So the ground does concern me, but that piece of form from Sealord makes him very interesting. It's a hard race. It is a very hard race. Because the yard are in form, and he showed a bit more last time out, I'm going to go with Mission to Mars, but okay. It's very, very tentative. Very tentative indeed, because, say, Hardside is consistent. Broughton's Bandit, that is good form. And No Charlie also shown ability earlier on in its career. Mm. But I'm not keen on Scottsbrook Legend, I will say.
Okay. Just one thing I found here, Stephen. Yes. You mentioned No Charlie was behind Takan Desai. Mm. That was Takan Desai's first race in the UK. 10-11 favourite, No Charlie. 5-2 Takan Desai.
Yeah.
We get things wrong sometimes, don't we?
Exactly. Look how things have panned out.
Yeah.
So
Mission to Mars it is then.
It will be, yeah. As you are going to make me choose, I know.
Yeah. Okay. Can you just run through your three picks at Huntingdon, Stephen?
3 o'clock Huntingdon, MSA Crag. 3:30 at Huntingdon, Streams of Whiskey. And the 4 o'clock at Huntingdon, Mission to Mars. But it's a very tricky day, so don't go mad. Save it for Cheltenham.
Yes, very true. Thank you very much, Stephen. Pleasure talking to you, as always.
Yep.
Look forward to Sunday's action.
Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.